You can't get away with certain things, can you? Especially when it comes to trying to get away with things as a believer and trying to get away with things from God. You can't get away with stuff. So we're starting this series on the Holy Spirit, and for some reason this isn't working. There we go. We're doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk to you about today about being sincere in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about it this morning. I've asked I asked Patricia to come up with me to read a portion of Scripture found in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So why don't we stand for the reading of God's Word here this morning? And we want to look at what it means to be sincere before the Spirit. Yeah. Comes after John. Before Romans. There you go.
Luke, John, it was here. Acts chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
So, Father, thank you again for your word that is so relevant to us today. And, Lord, as we look at this portion and as we look at being sincere and being honest before your Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Would you reveal to us the importance of living a life that honors you? Oh God, we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Being sincere before the Holy Spirit, it's got to start with the proper attitude. We have to have a right attitude. And so here's the story. We have a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm going to get into this in just a minute. But things are going pretty good down in Jerusalem at the time. Things are going pretty well. People were taking care of each other, and they were caring for each other. We had people that were going through challenges, and what happened was other people would pitch in to try to help. So we had people that had lost their property and had lost everything, and someone would come in, and they would pool their resources, and they would pay their mortgage. And there was another guy, his donkey broke down for the fifth time. So somebody came by and they gave him one of his donkeys. And then there was this guy named Joseph, Joe for short. They actually changed his name, and they call him Barnabas. And the word Barnabas means an encourager, a person that encourages one another. And Barnabas went out and he sold a piece of property. And he brought the money to the church to help out those in the church that were going through a tough time. And everybody's woohooing. Now, he didn't do it for the woohoo, but he did it to help others. But there was a couple in the church. They wanted the woohoo. They wanted the accolades. They wanted people to notice me. And they thought, you know what? If he can get it, if he can get that attention, maybe we can get it as well. See, Ananias and Sapphira, they were self-centered, they were attention-seeking, and they were arrogant. We had a rooster like that when I grew up. My mom took it out back with an axe, and we had a good dinner that night. You can't do that with people, okay? But it's dangerous when we allow self-centeredness and arrogance and so forth to take over. These people really wanted a pat on the back. They wanted the attaboy type of stuff. And that attitude is something that will lead to something we call hypocrisy. You know, it's interesting. There's a guy by the name of George MacDonald. He said, half of the misery in the world comes from trying to look instead of trying to be what one is not. We try to look real good. We try to look fantastic to others, but deep down inside, we're someone else. And that's a dangerous place to be. And again, Jesus called that hypocrisy. Interesting enough, the word hypocrisy means wearing a mask or playing the actor, pretending to be someone that you are not. And God is not okay with that. He's not okay with that at all. It's a deliberate deception to try to deceive others to make yourself look better. It's interesting. I had a phone call last week from a lady, doesn't attend this church, but from a lady. And she talked to me about the challenges she was having with her spouse. And she said, this guy, he called himself a holy man. He called himself a very righteous individual, but he would say things like to her, such as, you're a tool of the devil, and he would say that she was a female dog. I won't use the word. You know what I'm talking about. And he treated her like that. You know, in my books, there's something not right there. Are you with me? The way he's acting to others and the way he's acting to his wife, there's just something doesn't add up here. That's called hypocrisy. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, that hypocrisy is like a camouflage crypt. This is what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. Let me ask you something. When it comes to your relationship with God, what's your attitude like? When it comes to your relationship with the Holy Spirit, what's your attitude like? Are you listening to Him? Are you sincere in your faith? Are you walking it out? Or is there a hidden agenda? Well, with these guys, there was a hidden agenda, and their actions proved it. It says here now, let's go back there. It says, now Ananias, together with his wife, they sold a piece of property, and it says, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. See, God didn't have an issue with the fact that they sold this property and kept some for themselves. That's okay. If you want to sell a piece of property and you get $1 million, you can bring us the whole million. I'm okay with that. But if you want to bring us 100,000, I'm okay with that as well. It's not the issue what they brought. It's the issue of how they brought it. It was an issue of a lie behind it. Hey, we got this much money for this property, and we're bringing it to you. Look at us. Aren't we great? And God has a big, big issue when we are not honest before Him. So here it says in Acts chapter 5 verse 4, he said, look, didn't it belong to you, the whole property, before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have what? You have not lied what? To men, but to God. See, folks, we got to watch your actions. See, you can deceive yourself. You can deceive your family. You can maybe deceive the church. But you can't deceive God. You cannot deceive God. And if we are in a place that we are not living in an integral way, then we've got to stop and really evaluate ourselves. God has put the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life to guide us so that we make the right decisions, so that we go in the right direction. If we are not listening to Him and we're doing our own things, it could get us into some serious trouble. So last Sunday morning, Pat, she was leading our prayer meeting, and I loved the little illustration she used last Sunday morning. And she talked about Lucy. Lucy is her GPS. How many of you have a GPS? How many of you don't? If you don't, boy, you need to get one. Because I tell you, I'll tell you how it helped me. But anyways, so she's got this little GPS called Lucy. And so she says that she was traveling into Vancouver, and Lucy took her a way she had never gone before. I don't know if you've ever had that, where your GPS takes you someplace and you're going, where in the world are you taking me? Now, Pat is a very obedient young lady, and so she listened to Lucy. And Lucy took her down some side streets and down around some other barriers and so forth, and eventually took her to her destination. And what Pat said, is, which is very true, is if you can depend on a piece of technology, how much more should we be able to depend on God and His Holy Spirit? Now, let me tell you, I don't always listen to my Lucy. I don't call her Lucy. I call her something else. But I don't usually, I don't always listen to her because I know better. Like, what does this thing, like, I have it on my phone, right? And I'm thinking, what does this thing know? How does it know where to go? Come on. I'm driving down the highway. Why in the world would I get off the highway here? Like, are you crazy? So I don't listen. You ever done that? And not listen to your GPS? It's not a good idea. It's not a good. So I didn't listen. And about 3 kilometers up ahead, there was an accident. And if this thing could speak, it would probably go, told you so. But it doesn't. It's very gracious. God's given you His Holy Spirit, and it's to guide you into the right places in your life. Here's a problem with Ananias and Sapphira. Their actions were based on pride. They wanted to look good in front of everyone around them. They had the same attitude like the religious leaders at that time. Jesus said to the religious leaders in John chapter 12, verse 43, they love praise from men more than praise from God. So what did they do? How did they get the praise from men? So what they did is they would go out, and they would go out in the streets at that time, and they would look at people wanting some sort of money or whatever. And so what they would do is they would go out and they would give to the needy, and they would look in their pockets and they see if they could find a coin or something like that. And then what they would do, they would go to the needy person. Okay, folks, I need you to pay attention here. You ready? You all watching? Here we go. You hear it? Okay, listen. Yeah, that was me. Come on, give it up for me. Yeah. This is what they would do. They would try to bring attention to themselves and say, look at the great things I have done. I'm such an amazing individual. And Jesus said, man, it's hypocrisy. It's wrong. It's pride. It's arrogance. God does not look favorably on pride and arrogance. God has a real problem. He says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Don't tell people about it. Make sure you keep it to yourself. Actually, Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And God says, I hate pride. I hate arrogance and evil behavior and perverse speech. He doesn't just dislike it. He hates it when we begin to look at ourselves and say, man, look at me. Now, He's not against us saying a well done job, but He's against us saying, man, look at me, what I've done, how I've helped out, how I've done something good for God. He's against it when attention is brought to ourselves. Be careful, Jesus says, not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, don't let pride bring you down. Here's the problem with Ananias. Here's the problem with Sapphira. It was about pride. But it didn't just stop there. There was a satanic influence that happened with these two couples. And you know, that's pretty extreme. And you think, wait a minute, Wes, satanic influence? Are you serious? No, I'm not making this stuff up. Here's what it says. Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart? See, what had happened was this couple had chosen to put themselves first and what they wanted before God. They had chosen to have an attitude that was quite honestly demonic. Let me explain that to you here. If you jump back in scriptures to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14 gives us a description of who Satan actually is, who the devil actually is. He says this: I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the mountain of the mountain. Tops of the clouds. Have you noticed this, something in here? Have you noticed the word that it keeps repeating in all of this? I. Looking at myself. How can I look good? How can I look better? How can attention be brought to me? How can I? And see, the problem is when we begin to become so consumed with I, with ourselves, not only are we losing focus of people around us that need to have the loving, caring compassion of God in their life, we're losing that connection with Almighty God. And quite honestly, we begin to speak a language that's demonic. It's interesting. Some time ago, I had interaction with a young man who left the church and decided to go his own way. And we got into a bit of a conversation. And I can tell you this, it went bad. It went really bad. Because he was so consumed with self that honestly, I can honestly say there was a demonic presence there. It was overwhelming, the presence that I felt at that time that was not of God. See, because what happens is when I becomes more important than anything else, we begin, as again, to speak the language of our enemy. And see, the thing is, the devil isn't just happy about bringing attention to himself. He wants to go beyond that. And he actually wants to, the Bible tells us in John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we are not aware of it, folks, if we're not aware of the enemy trying to come against us, if we don't have, as Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, having the armor of God in place, being prepared for battle against him, he's going to take us down. He's going to take us down. You don't want to go there. These guys, they were influenced by the enemy, and they were influenced by lies. Here in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "You have not lied," Peter says to them, "to the Holy Spirit, and kept for yourself some of the money. Have you not lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" He says, "You have lied not to the church, Ananias. You've lied to God. You've lied to God." Folks, lies are just not okay. They're just not okay. It's interesting because in this scripture, on a side note, this is one place in scripture where we find that the Holy Spirit is in fact God. He's not some impersonal force or some woo thing out there. He is actually God. Acts chapter 5 verse 3 says, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit," verse 4, "you've lied to God." So he in fact is God. That's a side note there for you. But he's saying to them, listen, what you have done in your lying, as you have segregated yourself from the things of God, and you have connected yourself with the things of the devil. It says here in John chapter 8, verse 44, "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language." Have you ever found yourself saying something or doing something that your parents did that you couldn't stand? Okay, like this. Come on, this has happened. Your mom comes up to you and she does one of these. Let me just get that for you, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I know you wanted that, Ray. I know you wanted that. You know, she does one of those finger licking things and stuff. And then later on, you get kids and you see a little bit of schmutz or something, and you find yourself either doing that or a Kleenex and wiping up. Come on, you know you've done things that you didn't like in your parents, right? Be honest. Now, I'm not insinuating even in the little bit that your parents are anything like our enemy, the devil. But the truth is, when we choose to lie, We choose to speak the language of the enemy of our souls, of the father of all lies. And folks, we need to stop and consider not just how that's going to affect you, but how is it going to affect your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Be on guard. Lying is just not okay. It will hurt your reputation. It will hurt others. And it will, and you know what? Honestly, it will destroy your credibility. So what was the deal here? What were they lying about? They're lying about one of those things that you have a hard time talking about. We have a hard time talking about in church. Money. Who likes talking about money? Who likes people talking about what they're giving? And so it's a difficult area to talk about. And honestly, you know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing the sermon. It's interesting that God hits us where it's the hardest, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He hits us. He goes to those places in our lives where we know that has the greatest strongholds. And money is one of those areas. And he says to us, he says this. He says, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, I'm going to bless you overwhelmingly. I'm going to pour blessings on you, and I'm going to give you great jobs. I'm going to give you great opportunities. I'm going to give you great finances. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to return a portion back to me. That's it. I just want you to return. And in the Old Testament, it was 10%. In the New Testament, it's not just about 10%. It's giving willingly, even beyond. And he's saying to us, are you willing to be obedient? And you know what the greatest lie I've heard? is I've heard people say to me, I can't afford to give to God. Have you ever thought about that statement? You ever thought about that? I can't afford to give to God. So God could simply say, you know what? I can't afford to give you the 90%. I'm going to keep that as well. I can't afford to bless you. So I'm just going to keep that back from you as well. When we begin to say, I can't afford to give unto God, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving of ourselves to God. That's a lie. And we need to be very, very, very careful about allowing these things in our lives. The devil was a murderer from beginning, and we have to be careful that we don't allow him to interfere and intervene in our lives. Let me talk about the aftermath of this situation. Ananias comes in and he says, I brought all this money to you. I'm giving it all to you. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? And he's looking for some accolades. And the people at that time were impressed, but God wasn't. And what happens is that when Peter says to him, Ananias, you lied to God. And verse 5 says, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. Wow! I mean, come on, God, don't you think that's a little severe? I mean, seriously. He fell down and he died because he lied. Isn't that a little bit extreme? Can I say sin is extreme in the eyes of God? Sin is no small thing in the eyes of our God. Actually, when you look in Scripture, when you look at Isaiah chapter 53, it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity or the sin of us all. So in other words, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in the eyes of God. All sin is a big, it is what put Jesus on the cross. It is what made God turn his face from Jesus when Jesus cried out in Matthew 27, verse 6, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, here's the thing. In the presence of God, sin cannot exist. And when sin becomes more prevalent, God, he turned away. He turned away even from Jesus, whose sin, all of our sin, was put upon his shoulders. Can I just give you a warning here? When we choose to sin, it's interesting, it doesn't say here in this scripture that God took out Ananias, that God killed him. It says that Ananias fell down and died. You know what happened? Is that at that point in time, Ananias had chosen to follow his own compulsions, follow his own desires, and step out of the presence of God. To step away from the presence of God. And let me tell you, the warning is, when we do that, do you know who steps in real quick? Is our enemy. Very, very quickly. And as I read earlier, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He will step in very, very quickly. And what he did in this instance is he just took Ananias out. Bam! Down he went. Because Ananias stepped out of the presence of Almighty God. Ananias, the word Ananias means God is gracious. That's what the name means. It's interesting to know, though, folks, that even though his name means God is gracious, Ananias didn't learn the fact that God is also holy. And God will not tolerate sin. So what happens here? Ananias stepped out of the presence of God, and God allowed the enemy to take over, and he was struck dead. But it's interesting what happens next. 3 hours later, so his wife is at home. She's got no idea what's going on. She's sitting at home, and she thinks it's about time for me to get some of that woohoo myself. So what happens? It says 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her. Peter gives her the opportunity to come clean. He asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? And she says, absolutely. Yes, we did. She had put on her best dress. She put on her Chanel number 5 or whatever it is that you guys use. And she was looking the part, and she walks in there, and she thinks people are going to, Ananias must be sitting on some throne someplace. He's not here anywhere, but you know what? It's my turn. And instead of accolades, she got annihilation. It says here that Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. It's interesting. The word Sapphira means beautiful. But because she had stepped away from the presence of the Lord, her soul had become ugly. Her soul had become ugly. You know, I find this... I find humor in, my brain goes crazy places. I know, I apologize, but I'm sitting there, I was thinking about this when I read this, and I'm thinking about these poor guys that had pulled out Ananias. So they carried Ananias out, they had dug the grave, and they had put him into the grave, buried him up. They're walking back, wiping the sweat off their brow with a shovel over their shoulder, and their lives Sapphira, and they're going, oh, no, really? And back they went and did the same thing. Unfortunately, folks, it doesn't matter who we are. If we choose to reject the things of God, there's consequences. If we choose to reject the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your position is. It doesn't matter who we are as individuals. If we choose to reject the call of God in our lives, there are consequences. It's interesting when you look at Adam and Eve, for example. Man, they had it made. Seriously, they had it made. They had a daily walks with God, talking face to face with God. They had the scenery was incredible. The food was almost as good as my wife's. It was great. They had it made back then. And everything seemed phenomenal till the day they were visited by a serpent. And he comes up to him and says, man, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you the knowledge of good and evil. He had it half right. They already had the knowledge of good. They saw good. Why in the world would you want a knowledge of evil? Why in the world would you want to know what evil is like? Think about it from a logical perspective. Why? But it's the deception that we find ourselves getting caught up in. And I'm certain that as Adam and Eve were in the garden, they must have been thinking of the voices of God in the back of their minds saying, I've got it all for you. Just keep away from that tree. Everything is yours. Just keep away from there. Don't go there. It's going to be deadly for you. But they chose to walk their own pathway And we know the result of it. As they chose to walk that route, they were opened up. Their mind was opened up to what evil really is. And to this day, we fight it. See, today, deception is still as real. It still is real. People go out there and they think, man, a good shot of this drug, it's going to be good. And maybe it is for a minute. But then what happens after a little while? All of a sudden, they need something stronger. People walk out and think, man, if I need something better than this stuff that I've got. My relationship with my spouse isn't the greatest. It's got to be somebody better. And they get caught up in a fair relationship. And afterwards, they realize, oh, dear God, what did I do? Deception is real. See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages, the payment of sin is death. Death of relationships, death of a relationship with God, death of all sorts of good things. But the promise is the gift of God is eternal life. He has a gift for us, and that is life eternal. See, the Holy Spirit was given to us not to make your life miserable, but to make it exciting, to make it fulfilling, to make it rich and empowering. The scripture tells us that Ananias and Sapphira fell and died. And it says in verse 11, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these things. It wasn't the terror. It wasn't like, what's going to happen? God's going to take us out as well. But it was a reverence. It was a respect. It was a realization that this God is real. And when we step out of his will, there are real repercussions to it. See, God wants what's best for us. But he wants us to have a reverent respect for him, to be real and authentic in his presence. Let me end with an application. In ancient times, you would have to be very careful of the kind of pottery that you would buy. Everything was pottery, right? And what would happen is that if a potter wasn't very careful sifting through the clay, sometimes they would find little stones or pebbles that would be baked in with the pot that they made. The problem was that those stones, after they were baked in, would actually fall out and would leave a hole in the pot. Or if the pot wasn't done properly, it would crack. So when you would go to the market and you would buy a pot, you would look for a little inscription. And the inscription on it was Sine Sira. And the word Sine Sira, it means without wax. See, because what would happen is that the potter would see this hole or this crack and go, man, I don't want to do this again. So he put wax in there, melt wax, and put wax into the potter, into the crack, and paint over it so you couldn't tell. But when heat came and you put hot water or something like that in that pot, guess what happens? The wax would melt. From that word, sincere, Sarah, we get the word sincere. And it means without wax. And here's the point that I want to leave you with today. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, you can think or you can pretend you can cover it up with different things. You can cover up these situations or whatever you're facing. If I do the right things, I can cover it up. Or if I act the right way, smile the right way and all that. And we can put wax on it. But God says, man, I don't want wax. I want sincere. I want sincere followers of Jesus. People that would say, Spirit of God, what do you want from me? And you know the interesting thing is the Spirit of God doesn't take us places that he doesn't prepare for us to go in ahead of time. He will take you and I through those challenges, those journeys, but he gives us what we need to make it. But we need to be sincere before him. I'm going to ask the team to come back up here at this time. And we're going to close in a time of prayer. And as the team comes up, I want to ask you here today, with your relationship with God, if you were to look at it right now, If God were to look at you right now where you're at, is it a relationship that truly honors him? Or are there those little areas in there, like in Ananias and Sapphira, maybe a little bit of pride that is unhealthy? Maybe there's a little bit of a deception there. Maybe we've opened up our mind to things that are not of God. God wants you to be sincere with him here this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now, and we're going to pray. If you're here today, as just before I pray, and you're saying, you know what? There are areas in my life that are not right. I got to make them right. I know, God, you're speaking to me here this morning. Maybe you haven't made a commitment to serve Jesus. Today's the day. Today's the day. Maybe you're saying, God, I know there's a lot of sin in my life, a lot of bad things I've done. I don't know what to do about it. You know what? Bring them to God. He will forgive you and he will set you free. But it's got to start by you saying, God, I need your forgiveness. If you're here this morning, you're saying, man, Lord, I need you. I need you. Forgive me. I've done wrong. I need to be free from this. Can I ask you to put your hand up? I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? You can put your hand on. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you guys. Can I say thank you for being honest? Can I say thank you for being open? But can I also say, as you've made this commitment here, can I encourage you to make a commitment to follow Jesus out there and to be committed to him out there as well? Lord, I thank you for these folks that put up their hand and said, yeah, there's stuff in my life I need to make right. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from these things that have kept me from experiencing your presence fully. And I want to know you. I want to know the freedom that comes in you. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, would you come upon these folks? Would you bring them peace? Would you bring them freedom? Would you help them to make the right decisions in their life, that they would be sincere, that they would listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to him? And God, I pray this week you would give them opportunities to be sincere with you in some aspect in their lives, maybe to share Jesus with a friend, maybe when they are faced with a challenge that before would make them fly off the handle, that they would be quiet and they would trust you. But Father God, help them and help each one of us to be sincere in our faith and our walk with you. I pray in Jesus' name.